I want you to get your Bibles out tonight, if you would, please. And I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 41. Genesis chapter 41. We've been studying the subject of finances. Genesis chapter number 41. And I want you to find verse number 34. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 34. And once you find that verse, would you please stand? Genesis chapter 41, verse number 34. And I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. And the Bible says this, "Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight as we study together. May we be better Christians because of what we learn. May the lesson tonight be good for us. And may all of us, even some who already practice what will be taught tonight, may they be reminded. But for some, may they learn some things that would help them and help their futures in regard to their finances. Holy Spirit of God, control what's said, and please control what is heard. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Tonight, the lesson is this. We're going to talk about saving money. Saving money. If you will, saving money is it's scriptural. Now, hoarding money and being greedy and being stingy, that's not scriptural. But if you were listening to the passage of scripture that we just read, here's what took place. When Joseph was in charge, it was made clear that they were going to save a portion of what they harvested because there was going to come a day when they would have to have that savings to stay alive. Now, that is an Old Testament story where God told some people, you don't use all your increase, you set it aside, and you're going to use it later on, and you're going to need it. Now, there's multiple reasons why people would save. Everybody needs to plan for old age. Young people, you need to plan for college. There's some here that will purchase a home someday, purchase a car someday, and you have other dreams, you have other items. And by the way, emergencies arise, and it's a good idea to have some money saved. Listen to this. You earn your money by spending your life. You see, your time is your life. You give your time in exchange for money. Your paycheck is a result, then, of the loss of that amount of your life. In other words, when I go somewhere and work, if they give me $10 an hour, I have exchanged 1 hour of my life for that $10 bill. Now, I can't get that hour back, but I did receive $10 for it. So this, the way you spend your money is the way you're spending your life. Wasting your money, then, is wasting your life. Blowing your money is blowing your life. Being foolish with your money is being foolish with your life. I would recommend that you learn to save your life. Don't waste it. If I could teach you how not to waste your money, I am saving a certain quantity of your life. And I want to teach you how to be thrifty with your life. We only have so much of it. And so we need to be careful what we do. And if you would just remember that, when you waste money, you are wasting the amount of your life that it took to earn that money. So, once it's spent, there's no recall. Now, the lesson, again, as usual, it's going to be down to earth. It's going to be very, very practical. But I want you to listen. I'm going to make many, many observations tonight about the subject of saving money. Now, don't turn me off when you say, you know what, I am so deep in debt, there is no chance in the world of me saving money. It might be wise for you to listen to what I say, because you might not be able to do something today, but the fact that you can't do it today should not cause you not to learn what you need to do in the future. And it might just be you learn a little something anyway. So here we go. Point number one. And again, it's all about saving money. Now, number one, obey the Bible's command to save. Obey the Bible's command to save. Let me read to you from Proverbs 21:20. It says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." What's it talking about? He was talking about there was increase, but someone foolishly spent it all up. It's talking about spend it all. So the Bible clearly teaches the concept of savings. Don't spend it all. Let me read another verse to you. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Now here the Bible says that the ant in harvest time gathered food, because the ant knew there would come a day when it couldn't gather food, so it gathered enough food for today. It also put some food aside for tomorrow, next week, next month, or the difficult months. What did the ant do? The ant saved. And the Bible says, go to the ant. Learn from nature. Have you ever seen a squirrel playing in the backyard? If there are acorns nearby, he'll go gather those acorns. And he'll take them to his den, wherever it's at, and he'll store them for future use. Now, let me explain. One reason, or one thing that will help you to save, is you need to understand God told you to. And so, if anything that we're going to do, I think, as Christians, and do successfully, if it is scripturally based, it helps. If it were Jeff Owens' idea, okay, you know, we're not going to do it. But wait a minute, if it is God's idea, then we are obeying the Scripture. We're doing what the Bible says. So, I think obedience to the Bible ought to motivate us. We ought to be motivated by obeying the Bible. It might even be a good idea for someone to memorize Proverbs 21:20, the last half of it that says, "But a foolish man spendeth it up." You ought to remember that every time that you spend everything you have. Every time that you look at the balance of your checkbook and it's gone. You might want to quote Proverbs 21:20 to yourself, "But a foolish man spendeth it up." In other words, he spends it all. So, I think it should be motivational. It should be foundational that we save because the Bible commands that we save. Number two. You can save by being sure that you properly and faithfully give your tithe and offering. You can save by making sure that you properly and faithfully give your tithe and offering. And in a minute, I'll explain that. You say, well, you're telling me I'm going to save by giving? Well, yeah, that is kind of how God's economy works. But let me read to you the verse. Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 9. I'll read verse 9, 10, and 11. And it says this, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, the reason many people are unable to save is because they don't tithe and give their offering. And the devourer is eating up your potential savings. What that is teaching, what that verse just said, you give your tithe, you give your offering, and God will make sure that your things and your money lasts. It'll hang around. And I really believe there are all sorts of people that do not tithe and they do not give offering as a result of it. They hurt themselves financially in multiple ways, but usually your non-tithers as Christians probably are not saving money either. So, listen, giving money right helps you to save right. And I know you think that seems backwards. You mean if I give money, I'm apt to have more money? Yes, exactly. He said, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to man, but it makes sense to God. And you, many of you have heard me say this before. I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church when I was a teenager, and I had some common sense, not a lot, but I had some common sense. I went there and the pastor said, he said, if you will give your money like you're supposed to God, you'll have more money. And I thought, this guy, he's got a racket going on here. How in the world do you give but you have more? But you know something? He was right. He is right. And so I said, number two, you can save money by being sure you properly and faithfully give your tithe and offering. Number three, you can save by living by a budget. You can save by living by a budget. Luke 14:28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Now, let me briefly say something about a budget, and I've taught on budget already, but I want to talk about it a little bit more here. That verse teaches that there is to be a planned spending guideline that you follow, and that's basically what a budget is. In most cases, if there is no budget plan, there is probably no savings plan. Budgets do not have to be complicated, but budgets give you a guideline. But I'll just say again, I believe one way to accomplish savings is to live by a budget. And that's because the budget tells you what to spend. It doesn't let you do freely what you want to do. Okay? We're going to go on. And in a minute, I'm going to get to some newer things because many of these things you say, yeah, we've heard you say this before. But number four, save by never spending money outside your budget. So I said, get a budget, that'll help you save. Now I'm saying, save by never spending money outside your budget. Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. It's talking, it talked about becoming poor there, and it talks about a slack hand. What is that? Here is somebody that has a slack hand. They're being lazy. They're not doing what they ought to do. Now, I'm saying you can save if you don't spend money outside your budget. In other words, you get a budget that becomes your guideline. That's going to help you with savings. Now, you must make sure that you don't spend money outside those guidelines. You say, why? Well, when you purchase things outside your budget, you're spending extra money that could have been put into savings. Savings, it's got to be done on purpose if you're going to do it. But let me move on. Number five, save by not spending. Save by not spending. Let me say it again. Save by not spending. If we could all look back and see what we spent money on, we would be ashamed. We would say, I just can't say. No, you could have multiple times, but you didn't. So number five, save by not spending. Don't buy everything you want. Get this. Do without something. In American culture, that's almost unheard of. That's blasphemy. Do without something. To save, you might have to sacrifice. I'm going to make a statement, but I want you to listen to it. Don't save to spend, but save to save. Most people that save only save so they could go spend what they saved immediately. If I gave you $20 and said go save some, and you came back and you spent the full $20, you didn't save any. You say, but yeah, but I bought this one thing and it was only $15, but I spent that $5 that was left over on this thing, so I saved. But you didn't bring any money back. So you save to spend. I'd like to recommend that you save to save. You see the difference? I'm sure there's a split congregation at this moment, and I'm not going to tell you how. But you're to save, not save to spend. And I realize there are times that we'll save some money on something that we purchased, therefore we can buy something else. But if you want to have savings, you must save to save, not save to spend. Let me move on. Number six, save by having a place out of your reach to put your saved money. You can save. One of the things you may have to do is to get that money put somewhere that it's out of your reach. Now, why? Because if it's easy to get to, you'll get to it and you'll spend it. Don't carry your savings in your purse. Don't carry your savings in your wallet. I'm not real sure it's a good idea to keep your savings at home in a jar on the fridge. Why? Well, you go to the fridge all the time. That's just a little too convenient. Can I tell you something? I have watched people's credit ratings almost be smashed. I'll give you a process. They started having a thing called an Access 24 machine. Now, that was a machine where you could go and access your money from the bank 24 hours a day. Now, I've been around a little while. I watched what that did to people. See, it used to be there would come a point when the bank was closed and you couldn't go get money. You had to wait. Matter of fact, you had to sleep on it overnight. And many people in the night said, I'm going to buy this, but they couldn't get to the money. So they had to wait till the next day. And in some cases, they had to wait until Monday of the next week. And on Sunday, they came to their senses, especially if they came to my church and I threw a fit about wasting money. And they woke up Monday morning and said, I'm glad I couldn't get to it. I would have bought it emotionally on Saturday night, but because I couldn't get to the bank to get the money. Then they made it even more difficult for us to save. It wasn't just an Access 24 machine where you had to drive up to the bank and stick your card in to get the money out. They gave you a debit card where you could get your money out at the store. That's even easier than writing a check. And credit cards have been destructive in America. Why? It's immediate liquid money. You got it. Now, if the further you can keep your savings away from your grimy little paws, the less apt you are to get it and spend it. See? So money easily accessible is money easily spent. And I know that. I for many, many years, I had some techniques where I tried to get my savings as far away from me as I could. Why? I'm weak. So I knew if I couldn't get to it, I might make it through the moment of feeling like I needed to spend it, and I might have some savings left when it was done. So you'll have to figure it out. But I'm saying, number six, you can save by having a place out of reach to put your saved money. Let me go on. Number seven, save because you decided to save. Save because you decided to save. I want to tell you something. There are people in here, you have never decided that you need to start saving money. It's always been about earn and spend, earn and spend, earn and spend, earn and spend. That's your life. Somebody needs to make the decision, it is scriptural, to save some money. That means to have some in reserve. And therefore, I am making a scriptural decision that I will begin to save. And if you make that decision, I would rather you make the decision and fail at it than to never make the decision. And nobody succeeds at this totally. But you can save because you make a decision to save. In other words, you tell yourself what to do. Make a conscious decision that you'll begin saving. Some have never made that decision. And I wish somebody here tonight would say, you know what? I'm going to determine that it is scriptural that I save some of my money. And I therefore will begin saving money. Let me go on. Number eight. Make savings a part of your budget. Make savings a part of your budget. Remember, a budget is where I take my income and I allocate parts of my income. So I've got income and now I've got a plan for my outgo. Now this is what you do then. Because you've got a budget, you're going to take some percentage of your income and you're going to allocate it for savings. Now, even if it were 1%, if you would say, I'm going to take 1% of my income, only 1%, and I'm going to start saving it, then this is what you do. You make that 1% as if it were a bill that you were receiving, and you pay it every time your income comes in. You say, I'm going to take that 1% and I'm putting it over here in savings. I'm going to put it there. It's a bill. I have to do this. Let me explain. You say, why would I want so little, 1%? Sometimes it's not how much you're saving. It is developing the rhythm of saving. Then you can increase. Once you have the rhythm, you can increase the amount you save later. And there are some people who say, I am just so poor. I just don't know how I could take a very little amount and put it in savings. And I'll promise you something else. I believe our God is a good God, and I believe our God is a fair God. And I don't believe our God would ever require us to do something that we could not do. But I do believe that God wants us to try to do what we're supposed to do. So if you say, I really don't have a lot of money, then you need to put a little bit away to show God that you're trying to save. And I think this. I think somebody that puts a little bit away because they don't have a lot, if someday they have a need, they can turn to God and say, God, you know, I've tried. I've got this little bit in savings, but Lord, you know, I put this little bit away and I've done it routinely. God, I'm going to need some help. And I think God's going to look down and say, you know what? I watched you put that away and I know you worked hard at that. And you have proven to me that you understood that there was at least some responsibility on your part. I'm going to help you. And there are going to be other people that are going to turn to God and say, I need help. And God will say, I can't get you to save a lick. You don't save anything and you want me to bail you out. And I've got all the records on how much money that you have spent. Now, I don't think God's obligated when he told you what to do and you don't do your part. But I do believe if you'll do what you can, because God's a fair God. So I think if you can make savings a part of your budget, then there's an amount of money that you're putting away routinely. And it's a predictable amount. Let's go on. Number 9. Save overtime funds that you earn. Save overtime funds that you earn. And I'll tell you something else. I think a lot of times when someone says, you know, I'm short on money, I was never afraid to go to my boss when I worked secularly. And I would say, if you could give me some overtime, I'd love to have it. And many times they gave me overtime. Now, but let me remind you, if you wisely will set your budget up to function without overtime included in your budget, then when you do work overtime, it's bonus money. That means when that overtime money comes in, it could be placed into savings and it doesn't affect your income outgo. It was extra money. So, and if you don't save all of the overtime funds, save some of the overtime funds. But do you understand that if you've set up a budget and you didn't set it up to include the income of overtime, and that's the best way to do it. If you work 40 hours a week, you're better off setting your budget up off of a 40 hour a week amount. Then you get a couple extra hours, you earn that money, you can take that money right off the top and stick it in the savings. Okay, let me go on. Number 10, save when you're given monetary gifts. Save when you're given monetary gifts. This again would not be a part of your budget. So it would be easy to save. So somebody gives me $100 for my birthday. I tithe on it. And then the next thing I'm going to do, I'm saving the other $90. Why? Well, I that's not a part of my budget. I didn't need that $90 to make my car payment. I didn't need that $90 to make my house payment. That's extra money. So I'm going to save. And for some, you say, I don't think I have any money to save. I'm giving you little spurts of opportunity that can be used so you can begin a savings program. You get some money for your birthday. You get some money for Christmas. You have an unexpected financial increase because it's not a part of your budget. It's increase that you don't have to have to pay your routine bills. So you've got a place set up where you tuck it away for savings. Let me go on. Number 11. Save any bonuses that you're given. Put bonuses into savings. Hey, and listen, we have a lot of hard workers around here. There are people that you get bonuses at work. And again, If you have wisely set up your budget to not include bonuses, then bonuses could become extra money above your financial need, and it could be put into savings. It's just a month ago, I had a man come to see me, and he said, "Preacher, I'm going to show you something." And he pulled out of his pocket a big old wad of bills, and he said, "Today at work, I did certain service." He said, "And after they wrote me the check to pay me for my work, they handed me this wad of money and said, 'That's your tip.'" He was excited. Now, I'm saying when you get a bonus, because it's not a part of your regular income, then you can put that easily into savings without hurting your routine of your finances. Tips, bonuses could be saved. Number 12, save by selling unneeded items and then place the money into savings. There are people that say to me all the time, I have no way I could have any type of savings. And I just think that's probably extreme. I think people can save. So I sell something that I don't need, and I take that money and I place it into savings to get myself started. And in America, and you all know, garage sales and yard sales, and boy, you take stuff that you bought last year at somebody else's yard sale that you just had to have, that you took home and you put somewhere, and you don't need it, and you didn't need it when you bought it. Now you're going to sell it, and now take that money and put it into savings. Sell your third car or your fourth car. Sell a bunch of those clothes that are in boxes. America's spoiled rotten. We have more than we'll ever need. And I realize there's few people under the sound of my voice you'd say, "Pastor, that's not so with me." And I think we do have people that come to our church that really have a poverty situation. But there are many, many people that they just have in abundance. And so if someone said to me, "I really would like to start some sort of a savings program, but where would I even start?" Well, there may be things that sit around that have no purpose that could be sold, and the money could be used to tuck into a savings account. Number 13, save by spending wisely. Save by spending wisely. Now, I could give you 1,001 scriptures on this, but I and you've heard over and over again the importance of wisdom and the importance of using good sense about what you do. But you can save money just by spending wisely. In other words, don't be guilty of emotional spending. I know people that if they start to get depressed, they'll go out and spend a bunch of money. Could I tell you something? That will not solve your depression. But there are people that do. They get depressed and they want something. They want to see if receiving something will make them feel good. Could I tell you something? That is totally contrary to what the scripture says. What will make you feel good is giving, not receiving. But we want to spoil ourselves. When you're depressed, people don't want to go spend money. You're going to make it worse. That's like depressed people going and getting drunk. That'll make it worse. They give you a thrill for a moment, but you're going to crash. And it won't get better, it gets worse, and you pick the wrong thing to solve your depression. But save by spending wisely. Learn the difference between wants and needs. If you'll learn the difference between wants and needs, it'll make all the difference in your finances. Think before you spend. Use coupons. Learn how to save some money. Learn to haggle. Learn to negotiate purchases. But point number 13 is save by spending wisely. Number 14, when a budgeted item cost is less than your budgeted amount, save the difference. I said when your budgeted item costs less than your budgeted amount, save the difference. In other words, you budgeted $200 per month for fuel. But fuel prices dropped, so you only needed to use $150 this month for fuel. That means you had $50 left over. Here's what you did with it. You bought coffee and candy bars at the gas station. But what you could have done was taken the $50 that you didn't have to spend on fuel, and now it's free money. But usually when people get free money, they freely spend that free money. Then they say, "I could never save." Most of the time, it's not a problem of there's not enough money. Most of the time, it's a problem the money's not spent right. And so, remember, if you have a budgeted item and you have to spend less than you budgeted, take the savings and save. Remember, save to save. Don't save to spend. We did this with Twin Rivers Baptist Academy. You'll all remember the deacons and I brought a recommendation to the church at the end of last year, and we said we have a church budget, and in some of those budget items, we will not spend all the money at the end of the year. So we asked the congregation, could we take the unspent funds from the budget and slide them into a category for the starting of Twin Rivers Baptist Academy this year? And so there was an amount of money at the end of last year that did not get spent that was allocated to different budget items. We took all that, we added it together, and we moved it into an account that would be there to help us get started with our new academy. Now, what was that? That was us taking a budgeted item and saving what was not spent in that category. So it became a savings. Let me go on. Number 15, save by not wasting. Save by not wasting. We waste water. We waste air conditioning. We waste food. And I honestly believe that if people would work a little harder at getting a budget in regard to eating out, they could save money. America spends billions of dollars at restaurants. And I'm not against someone going to a restaurant. But the same people that are constantly spending money at restaurants would say, I don't have any savings. Now, I know you think I'm old-fashioned, but I spent many years eating peanut butter and jelly and rice and eggs because it was inexpensive. And I learned to pay my bills on time, even if I had to put a knife to my throat, as Proverbs would say. I had to control my physical appetite so that I could pay my bills on time. And by the way, so I could put 1% in savings. But we are so now oriented. I want it now. It tastes good now. It smells good now. I've got to have it now. I'm going to spend everything I can get my hands on. And America is spoiled with food. I won't go into it because I do have obesity statistics and I have our health issues. I've studied all that. And it would, if we would just get ourselves under control financially a little bit, we'd probably be healthier. So, save by not wasting. Let me go on. Number 16. Develop the mindset that saving even pennies is important. Develop the mindset that saving even pennies is important. I think there are sincere people that would say, If I couldn't save 50 bucks, what's the use? In other words, I don't get to save a large amount, so I won't save any. Did you know large amounts are made up of small amounts? Did you know that maybe you can't save $50? You know that $5, $10 bills equal 50. 50 $1 bills equal 50. But there are so many people that say, if I can't save 50 bucks, if I can't save an amount that is respectable, I'm not going to save it all. That's a mistake. I had to look silly last night. I was preaching out of town. Afterwards, I stopped in to purchase some gas at a gas station on the way back. I was in a hurry, and I walked through the parking lot, and I seen a penny on the ground, and I walked by it because I was in a hurry, and I got about halfway to the door, and I thought, I need to go get that penny. So I started to walk back toward it, and then somebody started to come, and I thought, I am dressed in this suit. I look like a banker, and I'm going to go back and get that penny. I was a little embarrassed. So I turned around and started to walk back toward the door of the gas station, and I went inside, and finally, I felt so bad. I decided I'm going out there and I'm getting that penny. I don't care who's watching. That's a free penny. That's my penny. And then this lady started coming and she looked down at the penny. I thought, I'm going to have to fight this woman for my penny now. Fortunately, she must have felt intimidated about the fact that this banker-looking guy is walking by. So she walked by it, and I waited until she got past. I looked around. I got my penny. But, you know, to some, a little bit of money is not a waste. Little bits of money turn into lots of money. It's where it all starts. You have to start somewhere. So learn to save pennies. I've done this for years. One of the ways that I help myself to save is when at the end of my day, every single day, I reach into my pocket and I pull out all my change. And I have a jar that I keep all my change in. And it'll build up, and then I put it in an account. And it'll build up, and I put it in an account. You probably think I'm silly. I have one account that is nothing but the change I've saved in my life. I'm not going to tell you how much is in there. But for those of you that the quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies don't mean anything, if you had my account, it'd mean something. You say, I'd like to have that. You had that. But it didn't mean anything to you. When my daughter got married, when Elswick stole her from her family, I'd been saving change. And I had a jar, and I'd throw that money in a jar, and I'd throw that money in a jar. I had decided that what I was going to do, that when my daughter got married, I was going to give her all the change I'd saved through the years. Now, it wasn't an outrageous amount. I had it was actually a very beautiful treasure chest. And, I don't know, Charlotta, when did I give that to you? It was a handful of weeks before your wedding ceremony. I pulled it out, and somewhere between $700 to $1,000 in coins. It's still all in the coinage. I put it in a treasure chest, and I gave it to her, and I said, it's not much, but this is something I've been saving for years. I want it to help you with your wedding. You spend it on whatever you need. Now, I'd saved that for years and years and years. But, you know, we helped her with other things with her wedding, but this was a unique gift that I gave her, and I'd saved that change. Now, you know, $700 to $1,000 worth of change in a matter of years. It was just a little a day. 35 cents one day, 25 cents another, dollar and a half in coins. But it added up. And it will add up for you too if you would just take the time to do it. Most of you would not miss the change that you carry if you just took it and put it somewhere. Let me go on. I've just got a couple more points and I'll be done. Number 17. Do not expand your budget when you receive a raise and then save your annual raise. Here's what I mean. It's not necessary that your outgo must increase just because your income did. I mean, let me see if I can say that another way. You make $40,000 a year, but they're going to give you a raise. And next year you're going to make $45,000. Here's what you could do. Do not spend the extra five. Save the extra five. You were making it on the 40. You did make it on the 40. You see, the problem is in our character, our outgo always expands to our income. But what would happen if you decided that you would not let your outgo expand to your income? So you made $10 an hour. They're going to give you 11. You decided to live off of 10. You're taking one to put in the bank. You're going to save it. Now, that's little. That is a little concept, but I'll promise you, for somebody in here, it could start your life to successful savings. So, it's a good plan. In other words, we're saying don't increase your standard of living because you got an increase at work. Save it. I'll give you one more and we'll be done. Save your tax refunds. Save your tax refunds. This, for some of you, could be one of your annual ways of savings. But I'm going to tell you the mindset of America. I can't wait to get my tax refund back because I've got all sorts of stuff I'm going to spend it on. And In some cases, you need it. You have bills to pay. But if you could develop the attitude, when I get that state refund back, it's all going into savings. When I get that federal refund back, it's going into savings. Hey, even if you didn't put it all in savings, what would happen if every year you said 50% of my refund is going in savings, 25% of my refund, it's going in savings? Now, there's multiple ways of finding little bits and pieces of money for savings. I do know this. God said, go to the ant, human race. And the ant gathers and saves. Now, you're going to need money someday. To the young people, you listen. You're going to grow old someday. And you're going to wish you had planned for your old age. If anybody's ever been under my ministry, I've harped about this for years. You're going to wish you'd saved. You're going to wish you wouldn't have spent it all. There are other things. Listen, it's rewarding. You save money, you can buy a car. You save money, you can buy a house. You save money, you can take vacations. But the average person, they want to spend what they don't even have yet. You could save and pay cash for it, or you can go into debt for it and pay high interest rates, and it causes stress. But there's a way of doing it, but you got to save. There is some sacrifice today to provide for what you want and need tomorrow. Now, there are some you'd say, well, you know, Pastor, I've known this for years. In this society of today, things like this are hardly ever mentioned and taught anymore, but they're extremely, extremely important. I did a study the other day about what percentage of America had savings and what age bracket and what financial brackets. It's terrible if you've seen all the statistics, because America wants it now. The problem is America should be saving, but America is trillions of dollars in debt. Trillions. And what we need to be working on is savings. So, I just call the lesson tonight, saving money. I hope somebody will take it to heart and pick a way to begin to save.